I know it will spin upside down. What do
you... That's what a purple heart looks like, huh?
Yep.
Is that the good general?
George
Washington?
I believe it's Adolf Hitler.
Oh, that's a little odd. It's kind of an odd choice. So it's... Why, for some reason, I thought a purple heart was like a patch.
No, it's a medal.
You can get
it's
like
not
a
really a medal.
I think you can get a stripe for it, but that's about it. Yeah.
For military, this is kind of cheap, actually.
Yeah. Well, they give them out to like quite a few people.
Yeah. No, there's. Get the purple it's not heart. As rare as you think it is.
But it is. I guess it's iconic.
Especially during, like, Vietnam. All those places.
So they were just mass producing these.
I didn't trust you.
Because this looks like this could be a Happy Meal toy. This looks like it could be like a...
That?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen Happy Meal toys that are a little, like Disney princess, you know.
This little thing right here?
Yeah, that's kind of what it looks like. Yeah. What is this here? This is
the One Ring.
That's the One Ring.
Yes.
Of Lord of the Rings fame?
Yes.
Is this an exact replica?
I think so.
What is it saying on it? What's inscribed on it?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them. One ring to bring them all in.
And in the darkness find them. That's right.
And this is all on the One Ring.
Yep. Yes. No, you know, it's elvish, you know.
Yeah.
Come on, Nico.
Oh, my apologies.
It's dwarvish and elvish script.
Fuck you. That's right. Well, I like my Lord of the Rings, but not that much.
I'm pretty sure it's dwarvish with elvish script. It's something with elvish script.
The problem is when I hear the word Elvish, I think Elvis. Am I the only one that when I hear Elvish, probably I'm not. Like, very much?
No.
That's what Elvish is. Right? It's the language. It's the language of the king.
It's like Elvis. It's Elvish.
It's exactly. Exactly.
Is that what Tolkien was really going for, yes, and it just got lost in translation somewhere?
Yes.
Right, okay. Exactly. Exactly.
Would it be a better movie, Nico, if that's what it was?
If instead of Frodo, it was Elvis?
No. It was an Elvis impersonator.
My precious. Oh, Lord.
Yep.
No, the ring.
For real, man. Like, no, I don't know. I fucking hate Lord of the Rings.
Actually,
but is that, now let me see this
smaller
one.
Than this.
By the way, we're recording. We've been recording.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. Because mine can, like, I can actually, like, wear as like, a ring.
Yeah,
ring.
I can't wear them. That's, my fingers are way too
small. So Adam brought a bunch of movie props in.
Sort of.
Well, this is stupid.
What?
This is fucking dumb.
I love that.
It just says Inception on the bottom.
Yeah.
That's lame
and
as
let me
fuck.
Guess. Because it says Inception, it's an officially licensed product.
Probably. Yeah.
No, this is a Happy Meal toy. That's what this is.
The only issue I have with the One Ring is the chain is way too small.
Yeah, I know.
Chain is supposed to be it's down to like the middle of your like.
And it's not supposed to be gold either.
It's not supposed to be gold.
So this Inception top.
No, that's a legit top. That'll spin for like.
Oh no!
Like,
it
like
no,
six,
it is
like seven
no,
minutes
yeah.
straight.
I don't care how long it spins for. I don't like how it says Inception on the box. It's like when I got
I kind of agree.
It's when I got my Woody toy for the first time from Toy Story,
it's
and
a
I
Toy
looked
Story.
On, and I looked on the foot, and I didn't see Andy's
Andy,
name.
Yeah.
Oh.
I saw like the Toy Story copyright, and I'm like, oh, movie magic isn't real.
Have you seen the shoes? They're like Buzz Lightyear shoes, and on the bottom it says Andy the way it's written in the movie.
That's pretty cool.
They're from like I think they're from Skechers.
Buzz Lightyear shoes. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Now I want some Buzz Lightyear shoes, guys.
Who? Okay. The best character in Toy Story is who?
Mr. Potato Head.
Mr. Potato Head.
Well, see, for me it changes per movie.
Is it? It could be Mr. I don't know. So I like Mr. Potato.
Where do you stand
because
on...
Because in the first one, I loved... I can't remember his name. Who's the pig?
Oh,
fuck. My God.
Ham?
Yes, Ham. There yes. In the first one, I loved Ham.
Sure.
And the second one, you gotta go Bullseye.
Bullseye's pretty dope.
Yes.
Bullseye or Rex, really, for me.
I was always a little annoyed by Rex. If I'm
I loved Rex.
Yeah, I like Rex, too.
I'm a little annoyed by Rex. I preferred Mr. Potato Head, although he was kind of a prick. It's always like,
but it's,
kind of.
But it's Don Rinkles.
Of course. Well, number one, it's Don. Mr. Warmth himself.
One of my favorite lines in movies is uttered in Toy Story. It's "You uncultured swine! What are you looking at, you hockey puck?" Love
Look
that
at
line.
Me! I'm a Picasso.
It's good shit. No, but where do you stand on Woody v. Buzz? Because that's one of the unspoken sort of Coke or Pepsi questions.
In the first two movies, I much prefer Woody.
Do you?
Yeah.
See, I've both
the third movie, I liked Buzz better.
Why? Because he talks Spanish?
Maybe. I don't know. I just liked him better in number three.
I think I prefer Woody in all three films.
Really?
Yeah, of the two, I'd go Woody, not Buzz.
Yeah. He's kind of an asshole, but...
Here's the thing. Woody straight up wants to murder Buzz in part one.
I know.
Like, he thinks he does.
He straight up pushes Buzz out of a window and has no remorse for it whatsoever. Yeah. And it's like, oh, we misconstrued it. Like, what happened in part two and part three? Because it always seemed like, you know, the toys were blaming Woody for everything.
Yeah.
But if your friend tried murdering your other friend in cold blood, like, I wouldn't trust him again.
Okay, he wasn't trying to push him out the window. What he was trying to do was hit him with the car as a joke. That's what he was actually
doing. It was a joke?
Yes.
Well, no, he was trying to hit him with the car to end up behind the desk, which is basically where all toys go to die.
Well. Was that the real... Now we
no, I think it is, because he looked down and there was toys there. They're not living toys. Yeah. They're like Jack and a ball and something like that. But they're there. So clearly they go down there to not ever be used again.
I don't think the intention was for him to kill Buzz in that moment.
No, I don't think it was either.
Yes. That's all I'm saying.
He certainly wanted to make him go away.
Yes. Now that's true. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yes. That's why I've always... What is that?
That's the ring.
Oh, the ring. Oh, okay.
He just took it off the chain.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, no. Okay, I understand that. I mean, Buzz has always been the cooler toy, too.
Oh, yeah.
Buzz was the cooler toy,
but that's
yeah,
the point.
But,
right.
That's entirely
yeah,
the point.
He's, yeah.
Yeah, I know. So, but I bought in because I was a dumb kid. I didn't understand the moral of the story.
Oh, no, I had Buzz stuff.
I didn't have a
Woody doll.
I had a Bullseye, actually.
I had a Bullseye also.
I think I had the whole set. I'm pretty sure I had all of them. I had a what was her face?
Jessie?
You had a Jessie?
I had a Jessie. Oh, Toy Story was my jam back in the day, man. Like, that movie.
I love Toy Story.
And by the way, I'm okay with them making 20. I'm totally reserved to that. I understand that, like, oh, the end 3 was a great end to the trilogy.
Yeah,
but
it was. But
I'm pumped for 4, man.
I can't believe they're doing 4. Eh, whatever.
They are. It's going to be a love story.
I do like the Triceratops in number
3. Yeah, I like
in number 3.
just the dinosaur.
Was it Trixie? Yeah.
Yeah, I love
Trixie.
That.
I did love Trixie.
So did I.
What's his face was great. The bear.
Lotso.
Lotso. Lotso was awesome.
Lotso Hugs? Was that the full name? Was Lotso Hugs?
I think it was. Who did the voice for Lotso again?
Oh,
I can't remember.
Wow.
It's a well-known actor, too.
Yes.
No, it is.
What the hell is his name?
Oh, was it John Lithgow? Did John Lithgow do
No, Lotso? That was Stinky Pete.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's find. Hold on, let's see. Yeah, I know. But no. Toy Story 3 was. What's the ranking on the three movies?
One. I don't know. I three. Yeah, you could
one,
argue
three,
which
two.
Is better, but
I'd go.
Me,
I'd go one.
For
three,
me
two.
Personally, yeah, probably 1, 3, 2. Although the finale and 2 on the conveyor belts, I fucking love.
Oh, that was in the airport scene.
Yeah. Love that.
Pretty great.
Yeah, pretty
great. That's the thing. It's tough.
Pretty great.
Toy Story 3, though, has, like, the they're all holding hands and they're all about to die in the incinerator
That's
moment.
The thing.
It's... And it's just like, whoa. What am I?
Oh,
I'm watching a
wait,
cartoon
I changed
right now.
My favorite character.
Who?
The aliens.
All of them as a collective?
All of them.
We do love the aliens.
Ned Beatty played Lotso. There you go. Michael Keaton was Ken? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah.
I love Michael Keaton.
Oh, man.
Oh, no, Ken was pretty great.
Yeah.
I liked Ken.
Yeah.
There's a million other Barbies just like her. Not to me, there's not.
Not to me. All
right. You ready?
Sure.
Count.
Yeah. And 3, 2.
Good afternoon! Welcome to Why Is This a Thing? Chuck Bear's month, guys. It continues. Nick is not here with us this week, however. He has been killed by Chuck Bears.
Hopefully.
The ghost of Chuck Bears has come back for one final job. And Nick Evangelist is no longer with us. Today we're talking Chuck Bears without him. We'll soldier on, soldier through.
What the hell would Chuck Bears' motivations have been for going after Nick Evangelista?
what were his motivations for going after anybody in this movie?
Fair point.
Excellent point. Excellent point.
They're very unclear. We're talking about Confessions of a Dangerous Mind today. It is the second Gong Show-related movie we've watched in the past month. They've actually made two Gong Show-related movies. Two movies about the character of Chuck Barris. We began this month with a recap of the entire series of the Gong Show. And next week, gentlemen, can you believe it? It is. Yes. We're here.
That was it?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's finally here. The reboot of the Gong Show, premiering this week, as a matter of fact. You're listening to this on Wednesday. And tomorrow night, Thursday, June 22nd, the Gong Show, hosted by Tommy Maitland and starring a number of celebrity guests, will be airing on ABC. Watch that and then come back for us next week. We're going to talk about it with Nick. What were you going to say?
I was telling my younger brother about that, about the new Gong Show. And I told him who the host of the newest Gong Show, who he is.
Yes, Tommy Maitland, British comic.
Yes.
I blew his fucking mind.
You know whose mind I blew with that today?
Who?
My mother.
Really?
My
really?
God. Guys, let me tell you. You know who's excited for the new Gong Show?
Your mother.
My fucking mom. Wow.
Is she a big Tommy Maitland
She's
fan?
A big Maitland head.
Is she a Maitland?
Big Maitland head.
Well, who isn't?
Yeah, obviously. Who isn't?
Yeah, that's to be honest.
My mom was watching TV this evening and goes, "Hey, Nico, do you ever watch the Gong Show?" And I go, "Oh, Mom. Clearly you haven't been
No listening. Idea.
Clearly you're not caught up on why is this a thing."
Yes, clearly.
Clearly you're behind on the episodes there.
I was telling my parents about this too, and they're just like, "You're doing the Gong Show? No way! We love that. It's amazing how famous." I had no idea my parents would have watched this.
I told my dad it. He goes, "Oh, okay."
Turns out,
clearly, three different reactions.
Interesting.
Turns out, parents love the Gong Show.
I guess
that's the thing. Yeah. This was the thing.
Well,
back
I think
in
everyone loved the Gong Show.
Of course,
I mean, secretly they wouldn't admit it. But
exactly.
They liked it.
Man, I hope.
Well, that's like saying now you like. Liked, I guess. Like American Idol. Because when it came out, everyone was like, "Oh, American Idol." But then at the end, yeah, you watch the auditions at least.
Yeah.
Yes. You know?
Sure.
And, but you never told people, "Hey, are you watching American Idol this year?"
Could you guys have named who won American Idol at a particular year? Like, you guys could never do that?
No.
You could never do that.
But you could.
I still don't know if Kelly Clarkson won or came second.
Kelly Clarkson won. She won the first season.
Yeah, she won.
Clay Aiken didn't win.
Clay Aiken did not win.
Okay. Reuben Studdard. So you know. Did Reuben Studdard win?
Okay.
No, I know.
Yes!
I know the big people who two come out of it.
You're proving my point.
But I don't know if they won.
You're proving my point.
They, yeah.
This is how big American Idol is. Is you, who could, you cannot give a shit about American Idol. You know, like, the winners of American Idol.
Well, I know those three.
The fact that you know who Reuben Studdard is.
I know Adam Lambert.
Adam Lambert. That was season 7.
Didn't he come second or did he win?
He did come in second. Okay. Look at this.
Oh, see?
That's my. That's how big American Idol is. Everybody that wants to bash American Idol, like, that. This show was, like...
Well, no, that's what I was saying. Yeah. Everyone knows who wins or who gets it very far and stuff like that and who really comes out of it.
Yeah, sure.
But...
No, that's the thing.
No one will say, "Oh, yeah, no, I've watched every season all the way through," except you, because you're a tool, of American Idol.
Well,
did we ever tell you what happened when he was trying to watch the finale?
Oh, no.
Frick.
I am.
You're such a prick.
We were sitting in the basement, right?
He wasn't crying, was he?
No.
Okay.
And he goes upstairs to, like, tell his dad something. And I had just discovered the Universal Remote app for my phone at the time.
Which is a horrible spy.
So I set it up.
Device.
And I'm in the basement. There was like 7 of us here.
Yes.
There was a lot of us here. And I turned the TV off, and I was like, "What's that?" I'm like, "I'm going to shut it off when Nico gets downstairs." And I turned it back on. And right when, like, someone would start singing, or right before
it was right when they were about to fucking announce the winner.
No.
That's when it was.
No, because I did it a couple times.
Yeah.
And you got really mad.
Right.
And then I did it, and you were like, "Fuck this," and ran upstairs.
Yeah. Yes.
So I kept turning it off on him.
And it got me really irritated,
He was
dude.
Getting so mad. He was like, "Who's fucking doing that?" And we're like, "Nico, what do you, like, you must be sitting on the remote or something." But I'm over here with it on the side of me, just turning it off.
You have to understand.
or changing the channel, or muting it. I'm just fucking with the TV.
I've talked very openly about this, and I make no bones about it whatsoever. I'm very honest with myself. American Idol is very important to me.
Yeah.
American Idol is a I'm serious. It is a transformative television viewing experience. It is one of my five favorite things that's ever existed. And like, it's like The Godfather, Breaking Bad, Seinfeld, Back to the Future, American Idol.
That's the five.
No, those are like the five things. Like, if I was on an island, those are the only five things I would want. And that's why I love The Gong Show so much, is because American Idol fucking ripped it off.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're being quite honest with ourselves. We'll get to all that in a minute. But first, how you guys doing? I feel like we haven't, like, talked in a while, guys. It's like pals.
Well, because it's been more than a week.
It has been a while. Well, not for you and I.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah, no, not for you two.
Yeah.
How are you all?
Getting over the flu. So that's fun.
Great.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. That's about it.
Okay, good. Really. Adam, how are you?
I'm fan-fucking-tastic.
Okay, Nico. Ready? You ready for this?
Nico.
What?
How are you?
I'm wonderful. You probably thought I was going to try to make this all about me. I'm not going to do that. Ready? Adam,
Nico's doing math.
I'm going to say six words.
Here comes the abacus.
I'm like genuinely
I'm going to say six words.
Is it just towards Adam?
Yes.
Can I sit back and relax?
Yeah. And I want you to go. You ready? Really quick. Like 10 minutes. Ready? Not even 10 minutes. New York Times, 25 best movies of the 21st century. 10 words.
In 10 words?
You keep adding words.
10 words.
No, he's saying it took him 10 words.
Take as many words as you want. Take all the words. Use them all. Use every word.
Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits. And that's it. That sums up my thoughts pretty perfectly. Okay. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits.
Great. Okay. Cool. All right, we can move on. All right. Cool. I thought that'd be more fruit, but whatever. All right, no worries.
Hold on. Is that what took you so long? You were trying to remember all of them.
No.
Or do you just generally know?
I'm a big fan of George Carlin.
Well, so. Not everyone is, but
no.
I couldn't tell you the words.
Oh, really?
Well, then you're not. Then you're not a big fan of George Carlin.
Well, okay. No. Let me rephrase that. I could tell you most of the words, but definitely not in order.
Okay. That is like the order too.
So. Yeah.
No. This list was a load of shit. Nico.
Yeah.
I was not a fan of this list.
So, the New York Times this has been getting a lot of play. That's why I wanted to bring it up to Adam here. And by the way, if you'd like more movie analysis from the two of us, you can check out our new show, Movie Hopping.
Oh, yeah.
Subscribe on iTunes, people. They did their 25 best movies of the 21st century, which is a list that you did not too long ago, right?
My own personal list.
Didn't you make one yourself of, like, top 10?
It was 10, yeah.
Okay.
No, it was probably 11. No. I think it was 11.
Well, yeah, no. You said top 10. And then you did the list because I went through it, and then like at the end you were like, okay, it's 11, whatever.
Yeah.
Did I? Okay. Yeah. Whatever.
You always call it like my top 10, my top 5, but then you always do more than what you say you're gonna do.
Which is fine.
Which is fine. It's totally fine.
I like to indulge in
it.
It
includes your top 10.
There we go. Yeah. I didn't do 11. Oh, that's so unlike me. I always do 11.
What was your number one?
No Country for Old Men.
No Country was number one. I thought you put Zodiac one.
No. Zodiac was like 5 or 6. Yeah. It was No Country, then it was Mad Max, and then it was, what was 3? Was Inside Llewyn Davis?
Maybe.
It might have been Inside Llewyn Davis. Okay. And then somewhere down there I had Zodiac. I also had Prisoners. I had The Hunt, one of the Lord of the Rings.
The Hunt?
Thomas Vinterberg film.
It was a hunt.
Hunt
it's
is
a foreign film. It's with Mads Mikkelsen.
It's oh my god.
It's with Mads Mikkelsen.
Mass.
Mads Mikkelsen, and he plays a guy that is accused of raping kids. A kindergarten teacher that's accused of raping kids. It's fucking awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Zach. Oh. No, I think Zach would actually kind of like it.
It does kind of sound like my movie.
What part? The Mads Mikkelsen part or the child rape part?
Sure.
Okay. No, it's, great one. Yeah, No David Fincher movie on this list. This has been getting a ton of play on Twitter, this whole thing.
And like, not even The Social Network.
I feel, yeah. No Social Network, no Zodiac.
Is Social Network really that good?
Yeah, I think it's one of the 25 best movies of the 21st century, even if it's not, like, the best.
25? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I'd put it on.
I think it's well within 25. And if that's not, Zodiac is.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
Has to be.
Absolutely.
I've seen that one.
Zodiac is.
I love Zodiac.
Zodiac's incredible.
Yeah. It's a little pretentious. A lot of foreign movies on here. Boyhood and Moonlight both on here.
Yeah.
You know, whereas a movie like Whiplash is not.
That's offensive to me.
Me too.
Fucking Whiplash. Now, I.
It's a good movie.
Whiplash. No, it should be
on. It should be on.
I'm not saying it shouldn't. It should be
on. No, the one or two. I didn't think it was a great movie.
Oh, yeah.
Whiplash needs to be here.
Whiplash should be on there.
But should have been on your list, by the way. It was not. You left it off.
No, I wouldn't have put it that high. Okay. It would have put it on maybe top 25. Yeah, probably.
So
it's definitely better than 25. I'll tell you that. Number 25.
So number 25 on this list is 40-Year-Old Virgin. Which, if we're picking, Adam McKay did it or Judd Apatow? Judd Apatow did it.
And there are better comedies, even in that vein, that came out around that time, okay?
Is that Judd Apatow's best movie?
It's either that or Knocked Up, I guess.
Knocked Up might be better, if I'm being totally honest with you.
I prefer Knocked Up.
I think Knocked Up's better.
Yeah.
And then if you can put Anchorman.
Anchorman is better than both of those, in my opinion. Yeah.
Right? You could put Step Brothers. You could... You could put any of them. I mean, just sort of in that same vein. Again, the Judd Apatow, Adam McKay, R-rated adult comedies, right? Either of those could have been there. Really, pick, a number of Will Ferrell movies. You know what I mean? Any of them could have been there. I don't know why 40-Year-Old Virgin's on. That makes absolutely no sense.
We should have Elf on there.
Yes! Elf is a better movie. It is. Absolutely 100% it is. So it's weird that that's how they chose to go mainstream, you know? Meanwhile, no Dark Knight, Mad Max made it on here, so you were happy with that.
Yeah.
You know, not a lot of blockbusters, no Soderbergh represented.
No.
No Confession.
No Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, absolutely, yes.
I'm trying to think of who else, though, that should be on, was there anything by Tarantino on there?
No Tarantino.
Because I probably would've...
Inglourious Basterds got there, right?
This is a different... podcast. Okay. I think we just need to rein it back in.
One note.
I understood.
All I'm saying, Inside Llewyn Davis is the only Coen Brothers movie they put on there, and I think that's kind of bullshit, because I think that's their third best movie of the 21st century. I don't think it's their first.
I do think it's better. I watched it recently, and I do think it's better than A Serious Man. And I also watched A Serious Man recently, but I would actually... I'm like the reverse of you in regards to 2 and 3, because I would put like A Serious Man at 3.
Okay. I'm going to go do something, and you guys talk to me about Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, please. The film by Chuck Barris.
Or Nico Slavik?
Not by Chuck Barris, but it was by George Clooney.
For Chuck Barris.
So because Nick's not here, Adam, you know what that means.
Oh, fuck.
You have to do
the plot. Oh, no. Oh, God. I am awful. I am so bad. I'm worse than Nick.
But you knew this coming on. You'd be taking over Nick's responsibilities whenever he's not here.
Yep.
So you need to do the
plot. That's right. The bylaws of why is this a thing. Decree it.
It was in the contract.
Yep.
That I had you sign in my head. Yep. Like that.
I remember that contract.
Yes, yes.
Let's see. So. Fuck. Okay. So Chuck Barris is this...
Well, you are worse than Nick at this. Kidding.
Chuck Barris is just this struggling asshole who wants to make it on TV.
We know this.
Yes. And
we knew this well before this.
We knew this 2 weeks ago.
Well, it's important to the movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Notice. So, it comes up with some ideas, which include the dating game and eventually the newlyweds, whatever the fuck it's called.
The newlywed game.
But
the newlyweds was not Chuck Barris.
Whatever. Anyway.
Imagine how different of a show that was.
Oh, boy.
Then all of a sudden, his fame is becoming kind of well known, and then he gets picked up by a strange individual. I don't remember his name, but he's played by George Clooney.
Jim Bird.
His name's Jim Bird?
Yep. B Y R D.
Okay. Yep. Anyway,
Jim Bird is the word.
Jim.
Mr. Jim Bird from Full Metal Jacket is
he was famous in Vietnam at the time.
See, we can't do this.
Jim Bird
picks up, it doesn't pick him up, he runs into Chuck Barris and he's like, hey, I think you're perfect for this assignment that I want for you. And he's just like, oh yeah, what's the assignment? He's like, well, I want you to kill people.
Yeah. That's the gist of the conversation. Basically, yes.
Yeah. And he Chuck Barris is like, oh yeah, that sounds like fun. And
basically, yeah.
Yeah,
he's like, sure.
Sure,
okay.
I'll do
why
it.
Not?
Yeah, kill
it.
People.
I'm already in. Why not?
I'll fuck Eastern European women, as he says.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So. Yes, he did.
And he does both of those things throughout the duration of this film.
Yeah. Yes.
Several times.
Yeah.
So, and then after that, we follow Chuck Barris as he kills people and runs the Gong Show as cover for his killing of many, many people. And it takes its toll
Barris. No.
What?
The Dating Game was the cover.
See,
that's where you're wrong. See,
this is why I need Nick.
One thought.
Yes.
Chuck Barris.
Only one?
Well, there'll be plenty. Here's one to chew on.
Here's one for now.
Here's one to chew on.
Is that a teaser?
Chuck Barris, really bad at naming television shows.
Is he?
I kind of like the Dating Game.
Okay, every show that he came up with was either the game or the show. It was everything.
So?
The Gong Show, the Dating Game, the newly... Like,
you know what you're getting into?
Show with newly...
Yeah, no, exactly.
I think it's efficient. I think it works.
I think it worked.
We're going to have a show. He literally had a show, and this is an actual show, called The Game Game. That was a thing. That was a game that Chuck Barris put on.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm surprised we haven't done this already.
I would be curious to see what the hell The Game Game's about.
Yeah, I know, me too.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a list of Chuck Barris shows. Okay, we're going to Google all of the shows that Chuck Barris produced. Here we go. This is on... okay, here we go. He did, of course, The Gong Show, The Newlywed Game. The $1.98 beauty show.
Okay.
Interesting.
The Game Game. How's Your Mother-in-Law?
Okay.
The Wawa Game. The Wawa Show.
The Wawa.
They said it twice in the movie and I forgot.
Wait a minute, hold on. Oh, shit. I lost it.
What are you doing?
I lost it. Hold on.
What's going on?
The Rawa Show.
Yeah, but something like that.
The
Pre-Set It and Red.
Bamboozle. The Bobby Vuitton Show. Camouflage, The Chuck Barris Rah-Rah Show, Comedy Courtroom, Cop Out, The Dating Show, Dollar a Second, Dream Girl of 67, The Mama Class, television show, The Family Game, The Game Game, The Gong Show, How's Your Mother-in-Law, Leave It to the Women, Operation Entertainment.
Okay, hold on. So time out.
Yes.
I think your argument of why he needs to get better at naming shows, because he ends everything with either game or show.
The Parent Game
has already gone out the window, because there was a bunch there that didn't end with game or show.
Three's a Crowd.
I mean,
Treasure Hunt.
No,
there's two right there.
I didn't realize Chuck Barris made all of these. I'm a huge game show fan, and I love a lot of these shows. I don't know what the Game Game is. The Game Game.
I do have to agree with Zach here, though.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm hearing quite a few of that.
I'm hearing a lot that didn't end in game or show.
Fair enough.
But you also got to think of at the time that you couldn't have like a show that just said something and not have it be a sitcom.
Yes. Right. Yeah. And it like I don't
like
know.
You needed to. I just needed to tell people it's a game.
I got you.
Did they call them reality shows back then?
No.
What did they call them?
Well, they were game shows, or they were quiz shows, or something along those lines.
I want to do a very heavy drama by the name of Breaking Bad, and we'll put it aside for like 50 years or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, all right, we have to do a show, and it's about dating. Yeah, that's what it is basically. I guess it's right to the point. Who am I to judge? This man's
because,
a genius, obviously.
Well, because if you're reading the newspaper or whatever, and someone just says, "Oh, tonight is the Dating Game." you're not going to be able to just go online now and be like, oh, well, what's this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you have to know, oh, it's a game.
That's fair. That's actually an excellent point. That's an excellent point. You were only looking at a TV Guide magazine when you found out.
Exactly.
Right. That's a good point. And this does make it stick out. True.
Or you heard it on the radio. They were like, tuning for the dating game.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
This man,
the newlywed game. Oh, it's a game with newlyweds. Okay, I'll watch it.
This man was the next Fellini.
Yeah, you seem to be forgetting that.
Here's a larger question. Does Chuck Barris maybe we'll ask Nick this next week. Is his impact on pop culture positive or negative as a whole? Is it too soon to answer?
I think it's too soon to answer.
Okay. Maybe let's revisit that next week and let's think about it a little bit more.
I think I have my thoughts, but we can revisit it.
Yeah, I definitely need to think about it.
Yeah.
We need to let Nick sit on it.
Yes. I think we need a definitive sort of thing of that. So this movie, again, this is from 2002. It's directed by George Clooney. It's starring Sam Rockwell as Chuck Barris, Drew Barrymore as Red, his lover.
Penny. They called her Penny. He did say Penny a lot in this, too.
Yes. I think her...
I think he called her Red once,
mm-hmm.
and someone else said, hey, how's the redhead, or something like that.
Yeah.
But then every other time, it was Penny.
Yeah. Do you think that was a nod to the Gong Show movie?
It might have been.
I think it definitely is. Yeah, so the love interest in the Gong Show movie is named Red.
Yeah.
And it's unclear either if this is the same character as the Gong Show, or it's just like an homage, as you said.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, either way.
I have no idea.
Pretty cool, though.
Yeah,
it was interesting.
Yeah. George Clooney, again, as you said, is the CIA agent that recruits Chuck Barris. Julia Roberts is this spy in Europe that is helping Chuck Barris pull off all of these assassinations.
Yep.
And there's a number of other cool cats along the way. Michael Cera. Michael Cera's in there. A young Michael Cera.
Young Michael Cera.
I was surprised by how quickly I saw that, too.
Yeah, it took me a while to figure out it was him.
I was like, that's definitely Michael Cera.
Yeah.
Michael Cera plays young, pervy Chuck Barris.
We get we got cameos from...
Well, we'll get...
Okay.
wait, hold that thought.
Okay.
Maggie Gyllenhaal makes a little appearance in this.
Yep.
You know, she plays just some broad that Chuck Barris fucks. And by the way, there's a bunch of them in this movie.
Yeah.
Yes. Is it Drew Barrymore's roommate?
Roommate, yes.
Yeah, okay. That was really romantic. And
do you not remember what Penny said to Chuck, like, the first time, well before the first time they fucked, but, like, the first time they met?
What?
She's talking about all the guys she's fucked, but then she was like, are you Jew? Oh, I've had a Jew. But then she separated it into different classes of Jew.
Yes.
I had no idea before this movie that there were different classes of Jew. Well, maybe I did. There's Hasidic Jews and a few. Okay, so maybe I did.
Yeah, no, there's, yeah.
It's the guys with the beards and the guys without.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all it is. Yeah. And then Larry David. You know, that's
okay. There's more to it than
so. Yeah, the Larry Davids is that their own thing now?
Yes, I guess. According to Nico.
Yeah.
I think we should go with the rabbis and the Larry Davids. I think like that's the or the Hasidics. Yeah, the rabbis, the Hasidic. Yeah, the Larry Davids. I like that.
A little Jewy.
The Woody Allens.
A little Jewy.
Would like, Woody Allen fall under the category of Larry David?
You can send your hate mail.
Here's a better. Would Gal Gadot get into the Larry David?
Well, Gal Gadot might have to be her own thing.
Yeah.
By the way, is it Gal Gadot or Gal Gadot?
It's Gadot.
She
said it.
Fuck you all. Yes.
It's Gal Gadot.
Fuck.
I win.
Oh, no, yes. She said it on Would she say it? She said it on a one of the late night talk shows. Was it? I'm trying to think of who it was. Was it Seth Meyers? No, it wasn't Seth Meyers. Oh, it was someone. But they said
Jimmy Kimmel?
Oh no, I think it was Kimmel actually.
Okay.
But it was one of them, and they said it, and she goes, "Oh, it's good, but you need to put a little more emphasis on the T. It's Gal Gadot."
Gal Gadot. Ha ha.
Leave it to Jimmy Kimmel, giving us the journalism we could all use.
I think it was Kimmel.
More than the mainstream media, certainly. That's the real questions that we're looking to answer.
Well, it's better than Fallon. Who their guest breathes and he starts laughing hysterically.
Then he starts petting their head.
Then he starts petting his hair, slant, hitting the desk.
Yeah, want to play Flip Cup?
Flip Cup, yeah. Let's get on the motorized fucking coolers.
It's time to play Headbands with Justin Bieber.
That is the most fake human being on television.
Oh.
I can't stand Jimmy Fallon.
That's a deep
list. Okay, no, you don't have to like Jimmy Fallon. I don't think he's... I just think he's kind of really that dumb.
Oh, he's certainly that dumb.
Well, yeah. Well,
so I think there's no way he's fake.
Oh, he's putting on a show, a real performance with every single person that comes on.
Well, he's a party animal.
Yeah.
He's like a drunk. He's basically, like, when he like almost ripped his finger off and he had it in the cast forever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was because
he was hammered.
Yeah, he partied way too hard and took a bit of a tumble. My favorite's when Don Rickles went on the show and he saw Kimmel with the cast on his finger and he goes, "Nice gimmick."
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's the best.
Didn't Trump go on? I'm pretty sure Trump went on.
Yeah,
and he, like,
and
had his
right.
That was a big controversy at the time, is the liberal media got very mad at Jimmy Fallon for petting. Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely another podcast. Yeah. We could do. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Here we go. Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. Really weird that they made a movie about Chuck Barris being an assassin. Kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, I'd say... See, I don't think it's weird that they made a movie about him being an assassin. I think it's weird that they made a movie about a book that he wrote that he has said himself, oh, yeah, no, it's not real.
He said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, in like 84, he came out and said, yeah, no, I applied for a job at the CIA. I never got it. It was if I got that job. Maybe this isn't like an actual... Like, he doesn't believe he was an assassin for the CIA.
Because that's what I always thought it was.
No.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, that's what Jim Lang, the host of The Dating Game, hints at in this movie.
Yeah, he does.
Mm. Maybe that was just part of Mr. Barris's cover, Zach.
Oh, I don't know, maybe.
Maybe it was.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
If the double bluff. I see. I see where that's going.
You son of a bitch.
You sneaky son of a bitch.
So you got to feel them, like, the filmmakers here... would have seen that interview in 1984. And
filmmaker. You think... just say George Clooney.
Well, let's be honest. I'm not just talking about George Clooney. I'm talking about George Clooney, and I'm also talking about Charlie Kaufman, who wrote the screenplay for this. You may not know who Charlie Kaufman is, Zach, but he is the mind behind... he's worked with Spike Jonze a lot. He worked on...
Her and...
Being John Malkovich, right? He was involved.
I like Being John Malkovich.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
I like Eternal Sunshine.
And Synecdoche, New York.
Yes.
Don't know that one.
And the one with the fucking puppets.
Oh.
Not fucking puppets, but the puppets that fucked.
Anomalisa.
Okay.
Don't know that one.
Yeah, that one came out like last year. Yeah, no, Charlie Kaufman is a...
He actually didn't do Her, now that I think about it. He had nothing to do with Her.
Right, Spike Jonze wrote the screenplay. Because he won Best Screenplay, I think,
that year. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Yeah. But they collaborate a lot. Mm-hmm. And he's a very quirky... you know that by being John Malkovich. It's very self-referential and real postmodern sort of... A real postmodern filmmaker.
Yeah.
And so a movie like this is clearly supposed to be tongue-in-cheek, and it is tongue-in-cheek. This is a comedy that we watched. This is not really a drama. There are dramatic elements to it.
Yeah.
But ultimately, this is not a serious account of history. What do you think their motivation was behind this and telling the story in this way?
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
I kind of want to say someone deoed Clooney.
I don't think that's the case.
But I don't. It's not. But I really want to say it because I don't get it. I don't understand even why someone. Well, I said this to you, Nico, at Adam went upstairs to do something. But I said if we didn't know, and that if it wasn't actually Chuck Barris, it would have been a fairly decent movie, because it's not then all that.
I think it's a fairly
crazy
decent
movie. I was like, I thought it was really good.
I thought it was fine, but again, if it wasn't Chuck Barris, if it was just some random guy and they made up a game show and then they used that as the cover and everything like that, I think
you're saying if this was a legitimate spy movie, you would have
completely fictional.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, because I don't think that's I disagree with that. Because I think as a spy movie on as itself, this falls flat. I think this as a piece of satire works
much better. No, I'm not saying I'm saying it would have been okay. Like I probably would have liked it better if it hadn't been Chuck Barris doing it.
Sure.
What I'm saying.
Okay. Your thoughts?
I don't know.
You really like this movie, huh?
Yeah, I liked it a lot, actually.
Why?
I don't know. I just liked it, Nico. That's it. That's I just like it. No reason. I just didn't. No.
Well, to be fair, that's my answer for why I like a lot of movies.
I know.
No, again, it's just it's surprisingly well directed. You know, because I saw a little bit of Monuments Men, and I didn't really care for it.
Okay,
and
I did not see that.
Yeah, and it's a, and
I'm
I, and I
who saw it.
It was on like HBO or something.
A lot of grandparents saw Monuments Men.
Yeah,
in all fairness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I really like the screenplay in this as well.
Yeah,
it's hard to dislike a Kaufman screenplay as well, and Sam Rockwell is awesome.
Yes,
Sam Rockwell is fucking awesome.
Sam Rockwell is Chuck Barris in this movie.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
voice
he really,
was spot
yeah.
on.
And all the idiosyncrasies of like Chuck Barris clapping,
especially
on camera
when they get to the gong show sequences.
Yeah, yeah. pulling the hat over his head.
Yeah, no, he was researched. Chuck Barris or something to get everything down the way it was.
Certainly more than we did the first week of this of this series. Go ahead, keep going.
Well, and just thinking about the motivations behind Clooney and everyone else involved, I don't know. Because I don't know what their motivations are. Do you think it was just them saying, you know, like a love letter to everything that was Chuck Barris?
Yeah, well, I think one thing is clear, and that is this is definitely a movie about Chuck Barris, the game show host and the television producer. Not Chuck Barris, the super spy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah, it's almost like the spy things took a big back seat almost.
Which is interesting.
Well, yeah. Yes, yeah. It took a back seat, not necessarily in the plot, but you understand very quickly that they do not believe this story.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So they make it very clear in the comedic nature of Clooney's character. I mean, he's absurd. He's over the top. It's that, you know, that trope where, you know, he's showing up in places that he's not supposed to be.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You know what I mean? That same, you know, the character that actually happened in the Gong Show with the producer. That was the same in the Gong Show movie.
Yep. Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
the producer
yeah.
just keeps showing
he just
up.
Kept showing up, yeah.
Right, you know, places he wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah, no, it was actually exactly the same, right. Except Clooney's character was a lot less clumsy.
Yes, because he was a super spy. But yes, it was the exact same sort of trope.
Yeah.
So very early on, it's like, okay, this is not something that actually happened. This is a lie that Chuck Barris put out there for whatever reason. It's a work of fiction. And if you work upon that assumption, you watch it as that, it becomes a lot more of a tragic story about a public figure that has a lot of regret for what he's done. You know what I mean?
But we got that, didn't we, already with the Gong Show?
Yeah, movie. No, we knew that.
A movie that has been buried. But yeah, no, similar themes for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I would not be – well, I'm sure Clooney watched the Gong Show movie before making this, right?
So we're saying that this is a soft reboot of the Gong Show movie?
This is the reboot of the Gong Show movie cinematic universe. That's what this is.
I'm so happy we're finally getting it, guys.
The GSM CU. You
know. I think 100% this is in the same universe. No, and I do think I'm serious. I think there are elements of the Gong Show movie that are very present in this. You hear, I mean, there are several scenes in this movie where they're talking about, oh, Chuck Barris is destroying Hollywood, destroying entertainment. There's a scene at the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah.
By the way, Zach and I recognize the Playboy Mansion as you know, because the grotto.
It's the grotto. Right? How do you not recognize the grotto? It's the grotto.
I didn't recognize the grotto.
You did
or
did not?
I didn't. You didn't?
Did not.
No.
Well, well, okay. You're
fuck out of here.
your middle school years are very different from mine and Zach's, apparently.
Yes.
I guess.
You probably had, like, friends.
Friends?
Probably did stuff.
You're right. Nowhere near as cool as what you guys
probably
were
weren't as horny, you know, just all... All the above, but you
sulking here right now.
But the playmate essentially tells Chuck Barris in that scene, "Yeah, you're the trashiest guy on TV."
She calls him insidious.
Oh yeah, she did.
Really bad when a Playboy model is calling you insidious.
Yeah,
you know, or is calling you.
She did it with such a smile.
She was like I said, she was getting off to it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
I was almost thinking, yeah, I'm disgusting.
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting Chuck to do something like that.
That's what I thought.
You know, just be like, what else?
Nothing like a Playboy model that's telling you to class it up. It's just so sexy. Isn't
it? Was that a joke in Seinfeld, by the way, where George was getting off to a girl calling him just repulsive? I feel like it was.
I don't know if he was getting off to it.
But you know what I mean.
Yes.
He was like, he kind of enjoyed it.
Yes. Well, I think she enjoyed it. Okay. I think she liked it. If I'm remembering the episode correct, it's like, I'm inadequate. I got it all!
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, it's that episode. So, needless, there's a lot of that sort of, you know, he's not really a serious television producer. Yeah. He's clearly a successful one and one that's made a big impact. But he was never taken seriously by his peers and never sort of accomplished that artistic, you know, those artistic aspirations that he had.
Yeah.
In his later year, this is my interpretation of the movie. In his later years, he writes this autobiography as a way of expressing that, as a way of sort of gaining that attention and, you know, glamorizing his life where it really wasn't that glamorous.
Yeah.
All he was really doing was fucking a lot of broads and drinking quite a bit. And there wasn't a lot of drug use. Actually, there wasn't any drug use in the movie.
No.
But
there was a passing mention at weed. But
yeah. You could sort of read between the lines, though, that this guy is just not a particularly happy person.
Yeah.
And so I think this is his way of coping and his way of showing the world, hey, I'm more than just a clown on TV.
Because especially in that final shot in the movie, too.
Right.
Which is, I mean, could I just say what it is?
Let's do it.
Yeah,
because the final shot is kind of like the big reveal. Because I, before going into this, I was aware of the fact that Chuck Barris had a cameo in the movie, but I was just waiting to see where it would pop up.
And I think I sort of assumed he would get some sort of cameo on like TV or something.
Yeah,
like
no,
that.
Yeah.
But, and by the way, the motif running throughout the entire show was, or the entire movie was, actual interviews with figures in Chuck Barris's life.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
Dick Clark is in there.
J.P. Morgan.
J.P. Morgan, the great J.P. Morgan is in there.
Gene.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
This fucker, George Clooney. fucker.
This dickhead.
My God. Shows we talked about Gene Gene and the Dance Machine losing his legs. They have an interview with him, and they just show the top half of his body. And then they pull out and show Gene Gene with his prosthetic legs. Yeah. Heartbreaking shot.
And you know what I thought was, yeah, that was heartbreaking, but the sort of the more heartbreaking thing was everyone else was like, so like J.P. Morgan, it said Gong Show Regular. The Unknown Comic, it said Unknown Comic, Gong Show Regular. But it literally just said Gene Gene, the Dancing Machine.
Yeah. All you gotta say.
Yeah. So like it was there, so everybody knew. Oh, yeah, he's Gene. He dances. Oh, his legs.
Oh, he doesn't dance.
Yeah.
He dances no more. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
It's a good cut. It's a very good cut.
Yeah, it is.
Right to, oh, man. Yeah, I was like, just.
Ugh. I think we were floored. I think we all went, oh.
Oh,
like, yeah.
Right.
Oh,
boy. But.
Which is the classic Italian, oh, yeah. Hey.
Why'd you do that?
Why?
Yeah. Hey, you lost your legs. Hey, oh.
Hey.
Mauricio.
The little Irish boy right here is just going to ignore what they just said. Yeah, that's me. Fucking Italian assholes than you anyway, over there. So.
Yeah. Axis powers, motherfucker.
I'm sticking with the IRA.
But anyway, yeah, these are – so it's unclear if these are real interviews or these are just scripted.
Yeah, they're scripted.
Lightly guided, you know, talking head things. But anyway, it's showing the real people that are portrayed in this film. And then at the end of it, Chuck Barris shows up for his, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't say anything, though.
Right.
Well, no, I did at the end.
No, that's not him talking.
No.
That is...
Oh, he didn't say anything.
Yeah, he
I thought you said it didn't.
No. Yeah, okay. He himself. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll explain the plot in a second of the whole thing, but needless to say, after all of this has happened, Sam Rockwell's Chuck Barris is reflecting on his life. And then you see the real Chuck Barris walking into the room, getting ready to be interviewed for this film, with a look of, I don't know of what of
the only
of
way
senselessness of pointlessness.
I guess pointlessness. Well, because it was obviously it was supposed to reflect the narration over the top of it.
Yeah,
which was Sam Rockwell's truck, basically saying, "Hey, I've thought of a new show," and then he describes it, and it's just three old men talking about how depressed their life has turned out.
Yeah,
you know, and then it shows the real Chuck Barris, and his just face is the epitome of that narration.
Right,
he just looked ashamed to me.
Yeah. He did. Yeah. He looked ashamed and beaten up and washed up, and just again with no sense of purpose.
Yeah,
you know,
it was powerful actually.
Yeah,
it was.
No, I really was. I felt the exact same way. And then we get to the quote, and whoever wins is the guy that doesn't blow his brains out. You know, that's what
they get a fridge. Yeah. Roll credits.
What a great way. What a great line to end.
Yeah, hey, I kind of do love that was the ending line.
That was wonderful.
Right.
That was great.
And then you get a look at this guy, and then you realize, man, we've spent the last 2 hours laughing at this kooky story of spycraft, you know, we're laughing at the absurdity of this, and then you realize this is a sad old man.
Yeah.
That's telling this story. This is a sad old man behind all of this. That's the reason why you're laughing. A real bold statement to make, especially like if I'm Clooney and I'm saying, hey, Chuck, I want you to be involved in this retelling of your story, and I'm just going to portray you as a pathetic, washed up failure.
Yeah.
That's balls, man. Like, yeah. And kudos to Clooney and Kaufman for making that choice.
Kudos for Chuck Barris for wanting to do it.
Yeah. I'm curious as to see. I mean, he must have at some point signed off on this, right?
Well, this kind of, I think this movie kind of confirms our beliefs of what we had with the Gong Show movie. It's like, I think this guy really was that troubled and tormented.
For sure.
Absolutely.
And feels a lot of regret for what he did, you know? And specifically has a big chip on his shoulder for being the Joker on TV, you know? And just for being a circus act and not an actual producer or personality.
Who would have thought that this, in venturing into the Gong Show, that it would have gotten this deep and this heartbreaking?
It's very...
Damn.
There's a lot to the Gong Show.
Yeah. There really is.
Yeah.
There's a rich tapestry here. There's a lot of stuff to get into, for sure. Let's get into the plot a little bit. So, again, we open it up, and he falls in love with Drew Barrymore, or they fall in love with each other to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But he's still a bit of a fuckboy, Chuck Barris.
Yeah.
You know, at
a
the
bit,
time.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's producing stuff. He's killing people overseas. He's using the dating game as a cover story for that. George Clooney is being as charming as always.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, it turns out that there's been a mole that has infiltrated the CIA. George Clooney reveals this to Chuck Barris with his dying breath.
He revealed it to him in Berlin.
I thought he revealed it to was
no in West Berlin when he well, okay, when revealed, he blasts okay.
Was that
the
in
stones
West...
I can't remember
the he blasts song. Music in Chuck Barris's house and he's
that's the Who
yeah that was the Who okay, yeah.
I don't remember what song it was
yeah
but
won't get fooled again the best CSI theme song.
I much prefer Teenage Wasteland.
Okay, actually,
Bob O'Reilly rather.
I was just erupting inside for a second.
I realized I was wrong, and I'm like, oh, shit.
Here's the ranking. I'm sorry. This is getting way off the rails, but I'm sorry. Won't Get Fooled Again is one. Who Are You is number two. Bab O'Reilly's number three. And I won't have it any other way. Keep going.
Bob O'Reilly's number
one. Bob O'Reilly's number one.
Okay, whatever.
But, you know, so he's blasting Won't Get Fooled Again, and he tells Chuck Barris then that there's a mole.
Right.
No, it had to have been still in West Berlin.
Was it?
Because, like, the scene after was them coming back on the plane.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe you're right.
So it had to be in West Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, mole.
That's yes. Yes. But George Clooney comes later on, and he's in the swimming pool, and then he's actually dying.
He mentions the mole and says, you know, you're going to die. This mole's going to kill you.
Yes, because they've been taken out, all of us.
Yes.
That scene confused me, though, when he's on the pool.
Yeah.
What was... I don't know. It was a little hard to hear on account of Nico's fucking basement.
But, yeah. No, it was. It was a little hard to hear.
Sure.
But was he, like, injured or something? Was he shot?
Well, no, because so he's sitting on the diving board of the pool.
Yeah.
Okay. His feet are just touching the water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But in one of the shots, when we see his feet, like, just touching the water.
Yeah.
There's nothing. It's clear. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
So if he was bleeding, he would have already have bled into the pool.
Yes. So there was just some dead person in the pool, and that's why there was blood coming up.
But I don't know.
I didn't get that, though. I was like, what?
No, I think it's supposed to be him who died and who's bleeding into the pool.
Okay.
But we see Chuck raising the gun, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't fire it or whatever. There's that weird cut. I know you saw that.
Yes.
There was some weird cut.
Mm-hmm.
And then it showed that there's now blood going into the pool.
So it says on the Wikipedia description, which is, of course, the paper of record.
the official.
So, one night, Barris finds Bird sitting atop the diving board of his backyard. Bird reveals to Barris why he was chosen by the CIA to become an assassin. He is a son of a serial killer and has been raised as a girl by his mother, so he fit the profile, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
So convoluted.
Yeah.
Barris threatens Bird, and after Bird is killed moments later, Barris is seen pointing his gun at him.
So, he shot, he killed him?
That's not right.
So, because
he was pointing his gun at him, and Jim Bird said, you're not going to kill me.
What does that mean, he is killed? By whom?
Yeah.
Like, can they be more,
So, well, by with that context, I guess it was Chuck who killed him. It's just...
Well, no, then that's what I said. I'm like, did maybe Chuck killed him, and they just didn't want to show it or whatever.
They were...
But then you think about it, and... If he killed him, why wouldn't they just show it?
I don't know. This is an interesting creative choice on Mr. Clooney's part.
Yeah. I don't...
Anyway, maybe this is all the point. Maybe the point is that it's supposed to be a little bit ambiguous.
Sure.
You know, strange enough, it's the only part of this movie that I'm genuinely confused about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that's saying something about a Chuck Barris movie.
Yeah.
I'm coming to this more and more, is the actual machinations of the spy plot are really unimportant.
Yeah.
And,
I agree.
You know, we get this a lot of times with unreliable narrators.
Yeah.
Is the what actually happens beat by beat is not as important as what the character is going through in all of these different phases of the story. And I think that's just sort of what the case is here. You are best not to think about it way too much. But anyway, he goes into a bit of a breakdown and he spirals out of control and he's lashing out on the Gong Show and at all of his contestants and, poor nameless comic or unknown comic.
Oh, that was that kind of bummed me out a little bit, you know.
My favorite joke made an appearance though.
What was
the,
that?
Do you know the difference between toilet paper and a shower curtain? No, we found the guy. All right, I love that joke.
Poor unknown comic becomes the center of Chuck Barris's rage, and it's.
Yeah.
We finally come to the point where the mole is revealed. Turns out it's Julia Roberts, who Chuck Barris has been fucking and many other things overseas.
Many other things overseas. Yeah.
Yes. And
the well. Yes. Could we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I don't think he... Did you see it?
The well?
The well. Yeah. Okay.
I guess not.
Okay. It was when the Elvis impersonator came out and was singing... What's with me not remembering song names?
I don't remember what he was saying either.
And I can't help.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Falling
so
in love.
So he's singing this, but you get Chuck sort of visualizing the story of him and Penny and him and Patricia, who's Julia Roberts' character.
Okay.
Right? And at one point when it's on the Patricia visualization, you see Chuck Barris just sort of in the back, not really in the background.
Yeah.
But further back than Patricia is, holding some guy over a well, and they're kicking, and then he just lets go.
So now it's juxtaposing. He's with Drew Barrymore, and he's all in love, and they're having a great time. And then overseas with Julia Roberts, he's literally killing people, and it's a very comedic fashion.
Right. Yes,
drop someone down a well, and then in another scene, he's having shots with a bartender, and the bartender just collapses.
Yeah, and then he just falls.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
I saw that.
That's all. Yeah.
My fucking phone was blowing up from like 10 different people. So right.
Yeah, no, I get it. A lot of personal turmoil going on in Adam Hall's life.
Not you really. Get it. You have friends.
God. We're watching Playboy, the Playboy channel.
That's true.
Yeah. Playboy TV.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Julia Roberts ends up being the mole, there's this dramatic sequence where Julia Roberts tries poisoning Chuck. Chuck notices this, switches the poison to her cup of tea, and ends up killing her in a great double cross. Classic spy.
Classic. Yes. I thought it was actually pretty well done. Yeah. So I was like, oh, yeah, she poisoned him there, didn't she?
Yeah. And
yeah. Tricked me out.
But then, okay, but then the only...
Yeah, I was like, the only other...
You're like, you know he's not dying.
I was like, the only other way is like the poison wasn't strong enough or he psyched her out somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clooney can direct a thriller, too.
Yeah.
Clooney can direct. I mean, he's a pretty good... He's not a great director, but he's a pretty good director.
What else is... Did he direct Michael Clayton? He didn't direct Michael Clayton, did he?
No, that's our boy from Bourne Identity lore. Tony Gilroy. Right? Yes.
Tony Gilroy. Okay.
Right? Tony Gilroy wrote...
He wrote them, yeah.
And he directed Michael Clayton, okay. I believe. I think so.
All right. His brother did Nightcrawler.
Really?
Clooney's brother or...
No,
does Clooney have a brother?
Tony Gilroy's brother did Nightcrawler. Dan Gilroy, I think that's his name.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe
you. Sure. Let's go with that.
Yeah, he also... Let's see what he's done. He did Confessions of a Dangerous Mind? Monuments Men. Oh, he did The Ides of March. That's right. Ides of March and then Good Night, Good Luck. Good Night and Good Luck, which is a really good movie.
Right.
Leatherheads? You ever seen Leatherheads?
No, I haven't.
And he's doing a Coen Brothers script. This is a very rare original Coen Brothers script called Suburbicon.
Oh, I heard about that. Okay.
Yeah. Normally, like
Clooney's directing?
Yeah. The Coens have like punched up scripts before. They've never full on given an original script to another director.
Really?
There was one with Colin Firth in it. Coen Brothers.
Hold on. You said to another director.
Right.
So.
They're just letting Clooney do what he wants.
I could have sworn they gave.
Well, but they don't do that with their own movies.
They write and direct.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I feel like their script. It's hard to direct a script by the Coen Brothers.
Yes, it is. But he's worked with them a lot, and I'm sure he's picked up.
Yeah, I'm sure he knows what they want to see.
I'm sure a lot of his style is influenced by them for sure.
Let's hope.
Yeah, let's. Let's hope. Yeah, so okay, let's talk about some little things and then we'll get out of here. All
right.
When he is first given the idea by George Clooney to go overseas and use the dating game as a cover, he goes with a young couple who has been sent on a luxury date or a dream date to forget what the first country they went to was.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Gesundheit. Can you say thank you in German?
No.
Okay.
Well, no, isn't it? No.
Dankeschön.
Danke?
Yeah.
Dankeschön.
Okay, good. Great. Sing hail.
We can't forget about Rucker Hauer, by the way. This was funny.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we do need to talk about
this. We'll get there in a minute. But whatever country they first go to.
That's bugging me. Where the hell did they go?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Exactly. West Berlin?
No. That was the second time. The first time.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Might have been Russia. Might have been something like that.
You might be right.
They...
Somewhere snowy.
Cold and depressing.
He goes with this couple, and the man turns out to be a double agent later on in the film.
Yeah.
It is revealed. What a long con that was. But the funnier part of this whole story is how he was selected to go on this dream date and what contestants he was going up against on the Newlywed Game. It was the funniest shit. This is my favorite sequence of the movie. I love this so much.
I lost. It was perfect.
Explain it, Adam.
Okay, so, you know, the dating game, you have the girl and she asks the questions to the three guys on the other side of the wall, and we are revealed who these three contestants are. Now...
But first you hear the guy giving awkward answers to the questions.
And it's just this one. It's just the one guy.
Yeah, the one
it's awkward... just contestant number three.
Yes, contestant number three is the only one talking, and he's this weird, strange, awkward dude, and, you know, you who wouldn't get with any girl. And that's
kind and of he's also, most importantly, unattractive.
Very unattractive. Yes.
Yeah.
So we're getting a nice dolly shot, right? It's just tracking over, and the first reveal is Mr. Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Chair one.
Yep. Brad Pitt is contestant number one. Bachelor number one.
And we keep tracking over, and we get to contestant number two, and it's good old Matt Damon.
So not only this awkward, unattractive bachelor number three won this date with this beautiful woman by beating literally the two most beautiful people in the world.
Yep. I loved it.
Literally the two most beautiful men, bar none, period. And Clooney was like, I'm going to get the two most attractive men I've ever met.
That was so on...
Helsinki.
Okay, there you go.
That's okay. Where he went. Helsinki.
Okay.
That was just a Boom. Great, perfect visual joke. They didn't say a word. You just got a quick little shot of them.
Yeah, no.
Clooney's old buddies from Ocean's 11. It was a whole Ocean's 11 reunion.
It's so self-referential, but it's perfect.
Yeah. How do we demonstrate the point that this attractive guy is beating, or this unattractive guy is beating two attractive guys?
The most beautiful guys. Yeah.
Get fucking Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Oh, and while you're at it, Damon too. Let's get him. By the way, Damon.
They were probably having coffee together. And they were just like, hey, come with me.
Yeah. Matt Damon
put this wig on.
In his prime.
Yeah.
I like to believe that Brad Pitt is still in his prime, but this is peak Matt Damon back in the early 2000s. Right. Yeah, no, like, it's smoke show.
Yeah.
No homo. No, there's anything wrong with that.
No.
My father's Matt Damon.
My father's Matt Damon.
See, I can't do that joke. I haven't been around long enough to do that joke.
No, you can do that joke.
No, not now.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and now you can. Yeah. Don't try to do it.
Now you ruined it.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Now we can never do it again. Mm-hmm. Fuck you, Adam. Yeah, you're fired.
Well, that's it. Yeah, I'm done. That was the last straw.
Yeah.
Leave your gun in your bed.
Get out.
What other quick little takeaways did you have?
With that sequence?
With anything.
Just anything in general?
Yeah.
Rucker Hauer.
Oh, yeah. No, we do. Yep. Okay.
I kind of have to explain this, right?
Yeah, you do.
Kind of.
So I pointed out...
Yeah, well, you're the one who explained it when it happened.
Well, yeah. So what is Rucker Hauer's role? He's just a fellow assassin?
He's just, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So
he's a contact.
Yeah, okay. A contact assassin. So he's helping out Chuck Barris, and I point... And the first shot that you get of him is in this car, and I pointed out. I was like, oh, hey, that's Rucker Hauer. And then Nico's like, who's that?
He's like, who?
I was like, oh, you know, that's Roy Batty from Blade Runner, which is...
I would have thought he would have gotten.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's his most famous role.
Okay, no, I got it. I don't know the names of the characters in Blade Runner.
The main bad android, villain.
I got that. I don't know the fucking names of the fucking bad android, okay? I don't know. I don't know Harrison Ford's name. Deckard. Rick Deckard. I don't like Blade Runner.
I know.
You don't like Blade
I know
Runner?
You don't like
I don't like Blade I'm sorry.
You don't like
I don't,
Blade Runner.
I don't like
And you're
Blade
a douche
Runner.
Because of it.
I don't like
Who
it,
Who doesn't
guys.
Like Blade Runner?
I don't know.
It's dated as fuck, man.
So?
The makeup is dated as fuck. It's slow. It's bizarre. It's ridiculous. I don't like it.
You're on crack.
I don't like Blade Runner.
Here's my take on Blade Runner is that it's... If you called it an imperfect film, I would completely agree with you.
Oh, yeah, no.
Because it is an imperfect film. Yeah. But it's one of those few imperfect films that also happens to be a masterpiece.
It's not a masterpiece.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
A masterpiece?
Yes.
Okay.
It's one of the best films I've ever seen.
I don't like how they had to make three different versions of it until they found, like... Dude, you didn't watch the director's cut? Dude,
okay.
How about the extended, you know, the second cut? How about the circumcised version, man? Did you not watch the circumcised version of Blade Runner, dude?
Now you have told me before that you have a bit of a stigma for people who are going off and saying, watch this version
it's
of
annoying.
The movie, though.
It's
I know.
Fucking annoying.
Yeah, no.
So
you're the douchiest person if you say things like that. You're the douchiest person. Just give me the original version of the movie.
There's one movie that I'll tell people to watch, the longest one, and that's Watchmen, because it's everything from the comic in one.
I usually say Alien 3 is Assembly Cut, and the thing about Blade, I don't say
Assembly Cut. There's so many names for them too, is what it is.
I don't say Blade Runner now because you can basically only get the final cut now.
Yeah.
So it's like
the final cut.
Yes.
It's so. I say this all the time.
So he's a little biased, Zach. That's what we're getting out of this.
The director's cut is the version that you saw in the theater. That's the cut that the director liked.
That wasn't the case for Blade Runner.
That's why it's called the director's... That's why the movie's a movie. It's because the director liked it. There's no director's cut.
If you want the director's cut of Blade Runner, you have to watch the final cut, because the theatrical release, that was not the case.
Yeah,
Nico.
No.
There was that production was chaotic.
I hate this so much. I hate it.
Anyway.
We are very off track now.
He was the bad guy in Blade Runner.
So you're just like, oh, I don't know who that is. And then I had to add some clarity to this. I was like,
now hold on. Before you say this, guaranteed there's only going to be a handful of listeners who know the movie, let alone have seen it.
They have to have heard of it. Everybody's heard of it.
You'd be surprised at how little people have heard of this movie.
Okay. Well, I was like, oh, really?
All right, yeah, anyway. No, seriously.
Anyway, I was like, oh, you know, it's the hobo with a shotgun. Yeah. And then you're just like, oh.
Yeah.
Now I got it.
A movie that I enjoy more than Blade Runner. I'm sorry.
How do I enjoy it more than Blade Runner?
I wouldn't say it's a better movie, but let me tell you, I enjoyed my... That was a quick 90 minutes. Hobo with a Shotgun is an effective... It is a bang-bang...
Did they make the second one yet?
I don't know.
They are making a second one.
They are, but did they make it yet or no?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Hobo with a Shotgun, say whatever you want. That movie knows what it is. And I enjoyed myself for the 90 minutes. That's all I'm going to say.
I like when he's lifting the manhole cover.
Yes. Great.
He just puts his middle finger in it.
No, he doesn't. Yes, puts his bone. Not his middle finger. His bone.
He just lifts it.
Yes, because his arm has been sawed off. It's the shit. Or sanded off, actually.
Oh, it's great.
No. Yeah. So, yeah, that made more sense to me, of course. Hobo with a Shotgun. That's right. Yeah, that guy.
Of all movies. There's a little bit of an error in logic in Hobo with a Shotgun, by the way. It really...
A little.
Really bothers
me. It's about a hobo who sells a lawnmower to get a shotgun.
Beside the point.
That's the movie. And then he goes around shooting people. That's the movie.
Talk about imperfect masterpiece, by the way. Hobo with a Shotgun.
I'll have to agree with you, sir. Yeah. No, it's the opening scene where I don't know why I'm talking about this. Anyway.
Why haven't we done Hobo with a Shotgun?
That's an excellent question. That's an excellent question.
I think it's because we've all seen it.
Has Nick seen it?
I think Nick has seen it.
I highly doubt Nick has seen it. Highly doubt.
He watched Iron Sky willingly.
What a retard. I'm a mentally fucking challenged person. Go ahead.
God damn it, Nick.
Yeah.
Hasn't seen Jaws. Anyway. Yeah, no. They take this guy out and they put the manhole cover on him, right? And they drop him down this manhole. But they make a point that it's actually quite deep and it's hurting him just to hang there, right? Yeah. So they put the barbed wire around him and they attach it to the car and they cut his head off. But I would have thought that his body would have fallen down the well, but it proceeds to shoot blood up for the women to dance and, you know, bathe themselves in the dude's blood. Shouldn't he have just fallen down into the sewer? That's a lot of blood to do something like that.
That is an oddly specific fucking logic. What? Okay.
I'll say this again. He sells a lawnmower for a shotgun.
But Zach, come on.
I think you're taking this movie too seriously.
You want to know what's like... You want to know a plot hole? I'll tell you a plot hole. How about the fucking Confessions of a Dangerous Mind airing an episode of the Newlywed Game from like 3 years into its run when the show just got picked up?
Yeah.
What's that? The in the butt Bob moment. This is one of the iconic moments in all of game shows. Bob Eubanks, host of the Newlywed Game, asks the contestant, where's the strangest place you've ever felt the urge to make whoopee? Whoopee is what they use. You couldn't say sex back in the day on television.
Or do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to say, what's the strangest place you ever had the urge to make whoopee? And she answers, in the ass.
Yeah.
Classic moment. Would not be airing on television just as the show was getting picked up, though.
No.
Okay.
No.
Good.
Definitely.
Good. Have that established. Okay. I'm sure the same applies for The Gong Show. The history of The Gong Show is not accurately portrayed in this movie, but again, you know.
What were they auditioning people for?
Yeah, I don't know what that scene is. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Very weird.
It's a new...
Because they just got a bunch of Asian women singing the same song with a guitar.
Just and then some he, other
and then,
pilot,
and
I'm
then
sure.
He kills that one of them in his mind.
Yes. Yes.
And then, like, Gong Show.
Gong Show. Like, yeah, man. I appreciate this as an artistic representation of Chuck Barris's psyche rather than an honest reflection of Chuck Barris's psyche. Does that make sense? And that's what this is. Like, clearly a lot of artistic liberty was taken with with all of this stuff and the history of this, but I, again, I think that's all the point.
Yeah.
And I am, as both, you know, as a directorial effort for Clooney, but also now knowing that Charlie Kaufman wrote it.
Yeah.
To I'm thinking about it a lot more, and over the last hour and 15 or so, I've sort of come to this guy views Chuck Barris as a very tragic figure, and he's going to make you laugh at the absurdity of his story, and then at the end is going to just hit you in the gut with, no, this is actually a tragedy you've been watching all along.
And I think Chuck Barris loved that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, God, yeah.
Man, a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
A pretty good movie.
I kind of liked it.
And they, I think
Well, and I actually think even like the Rotten Tomatoes score.
What is the Rotten Tomatoes score?
I think it's like 77.
Yeah.
It's like it's right. it's not terrible. Hold on. I have it right here.
It's sort of a forgotten movie. I mean, it's not really talked about all that much, but it's a movie that I've certainly heard reference places, and it's always been talked
I've
about.
Heard of, no, I've heard about it too quite a more often than you would have thought, but yeah, no, I was actually thoroughly surprised.
Yeah.
It was good.
It's not a buyer. 79.
There you go.
Yeah. That's about right.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's a very good movie. And I think it does illuminate our thoughts and of Chuck Barris, the man. You know, I think we learned a lot about him.
Yep.
And I can't wait until next week where we wrap up Chuck Barris month. What a month it has been. What a celebration.
With not Chuck Barris.
No. Well, we will see if Tommy Maitland can carry on in his footsteps and carry on his legacy, the late, great Chuck Barris, see if he'll make our buddy proud.
Oh, boy.
I hope he does, man.
Me too.
I hope this doesn't suck.
I hope it's not
If awful. This sucks the year that Chuck Barris died, like if he really butcher the Gong Show.
My dad, he's like, Adam, it's going to suck.
I'm sure it will.
And I'm just like, you know, why do you think? I mean, I'm it very well could, but I'm just curious. Why do you think? He's like, well, part of the greatness of the Gong Show is Chuck Barris, and I don't believe it will ever be matched.
So. Well, and they did a lot of things that you even now can't do.
Yes.
On the original Gong Show.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, and right. It's no in this era of TV where, you know, where Game of Thrones, a show that frequently features beheadings and tits, is the most popular show on TV, the edginess is no longer a thing that is celebrated, or it's certainly not something that's special.
Unless it would to air on like an HBO or Showtime or something, but it's not. No. It's on
Is it on Comedy Central?
No, it's on ABC.
ABC?
Yeah. Oh.
And it's going to be, it's going to be a family show like the other one was. But part of the sexuality and the, again, it's an outcast of a show. It's rebellious. It's out there. Hard to do that when you're remaking a show from the 70s in the year 2017.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Maybe they'll pull it off. Who knows? I'm going to remain open to it.
We're in the era of nostalgia, aren't we?
So. Sure.
Yes, we are.
Sure.
Yep.
We'll see. Yeah, we will see. Gong Show coming next week. Watch that. It's premiering Thursday. Feels like I'm doing an ad for it. Thursday on ABC, 8 o'clock, I think. Check that out. We'll be watching that in time for next week's podcast. Hopefully Nick will be there for all of the festivities. Subscribe to Movie Hopping. That's the show that Adam and I do. It's about movies. Subscribe to Backers. It's the show that Zach and Nick do.
Yep.
About backing.
About backing Kickstarters, yeah.
About,
about backing.
About the song Baby Got Back.
Yes.
You break down the lyrics every week.
Yep. We do one line of lyric every week.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do when it runs out?
Do it again.
It's great.
We'll do Anaconda, the song that it was sampled on.
Yep.
God damn it.
Then we'll circle back. It's a plan.
We're having a great time on TooManyThoughtsMedia.com. TMT.media is the other place to get there. YouTube videos posted frequently, other podcasts. Nico's show's been really fun. I'm really proud of that lately. Check all of that out. Again, TooManyThoughtsMedia.com. Guys, we good?
I think we're good. I think we're good.
Awesome. You. You.
You.
You.
Us.
You've been naughty.
Naughty.